Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from wonderfully sunny Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you guys today. I'm hoping that we have my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from the Ozarks today, but I don't see her in our panel yet. And we also have a phenomenal guest that I've been looking forward to. Ina, do I have you unmuted properly?
I think so.
Good. Rhonda's joining us today, isn't she? Do you know?
Yeah, as far as I know, she is. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I think she's supposed to be here too, but I don't see her. Anyway, Our guest today is Dr. Ina Gilmore, the knitting doctor from both theknittingyarn.com and caregivingwithpurpose.com. Ina is also an ambassador of elder care on howtoliveonpurpose.com. Ina has been with us previously, so you might want to go into the show archives and locate that prior episode where Ina was on and we were talking about what she'd been doing on the knitting yarn and caregiving with purpose. Recently, Ina has had a lot of excitement happening in her world. She was recently named one of the top 25 Alzheimer's blogs in the world by Healthlines. What an honor, Ina. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, that's
there's
amazing.
There's Miss Rhonda.
Yep, so sorry.
I'm glad you made it.
I was absolutely here in spirit going, I'm coming. I was just away from my phone trying to help my mom out and dashed back. Sorry about being a little bit late.
Quite all right. So I hope I did okay introducing Ina. Was there anything you wanted to mention in introducing her, Rhonda?
Well, I mean, I didn't hear most of what you said until the last minute, but I just want to mention that as we go through today, what I want to highlight is really how taking inspired action and moving forward and having a strategic plan made such a difference. So that's definitely something we'll want to focus on today as we talk with Ina.
And that is very, very true. We have been very proud of Ina and very excited about what's been going on in her world. I'll let you get us started, Rhonda.
Okay, hold on a second, sorry. All right. So the thing is, you know, on this radio show, we so often talk about how you have a plan. You create a strategic plan, and you make things happen, and, you know, you slide those pieces into place. And that's exactly, well, there's a lot of noise on this line. Anyway, that's exactly what Ina has been doing. This whole thing that's just happened, which we'll have her talk about with being one of the 25 top Alzheimer's blogs in the entire world, really came about because of some planning that took place a while back. And so the thing that you want to remember about your business, and I was just talking to someone about this the other day, but you get to design it. You get to create it in the way that you choose, but you want to be very conscious, a conscious creator, as opposed to just kind of throwing it all against the wall and seeing what sticks. So that's really what I want us to have the focus and intention upon today.
So, Ina, why don't we have you get started with a little bit of history, how you came to where you're at today, starting with your website, The Knitting Yarn. Oh, goodness, that was almost 3 years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Before I did any blogging, I was a physician, and I left that due to some personal issues and also because I was caring for my mother 24/7, and that's really not compatible with caring with doing a practice of medicine. And one of the things I've always enjoyed doing is knitting. And I got involved with doing a blog about it, thinking that that would be a way to combine writing and my passion of knitting. And I came into Gina's world and started to really try and strategize and make some more conscious decisions about it. And in doing that, I went through... In going through the first part of her bachelor's program, I realized that my passion really was caring for people that are caregivers because, and one of the reasons is because they are silent. They don't really have anyone, and they didn't at that time, especially to speak for them and to say, hey, you know, we've got a problem. And a lot of times the caregivers don't even realize that they have a problem because they're so busy giving care. They're so focused on the caregiving. And I thought this was an important place to start working with caregivers and working with these people to get them some help. And in going through the research for caregiving with purpose, I realized that one of the big areas is Alzheimer's. And I knew it was a big problem. I didn't realize how large. Right now the statistics are that, which is just that 1 in 8 people over the age of 65 in the United States have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Holy cow!
And so that means
that's enormous.
It is. Every 68 seconds, another American develops Alzheimer's disease.
Wow. That's alarming.
Yeah, and what's even more alarming is that, that is alarming, and then along with it is that the caregiver problem. Because
and this has been a huge issue that we've uncovered through the research.
Yeah. Yep, and one of the problems is that the emotional, physical stresses are so high that sometimes caregivers die before really sick and can't care for the person they're giving care to. And they estimated in 2011 that Alzheimer's and other dementias, caregivers had $8.7 billion in additional health care costs.
Oh, my goodness. We're not talking a tiny market at all, that's for sure.
No. Certainly growing, and lots of pain in that market, too, and probably a lot of pain they don't even really realize the extent of what's going on, like in so many things.
Oh, yeah, I think that's really the problem, even more so than a lot of niches, because, again, with the caregivers, they're so focused on somebody else, they're not thinking of themselves.
And so
it's easy to hide the pain.
Through the two sites that you have, you help caregivers to take better care of themselves through things like the audio course that you have on thriving in caregiving, through the knitting instruction that you do, and soon the quilting instruction that you do, helping to really get that caregiver to realize that they need to take care of themselves first, or they really can't take care of anybody else.
Exactly. They have to be in top shape and get their rest, and a lot of things like that. Eat well, get their rest, take care of themselves.
Yep.
And one of the fun things about knitting and quilting is that they are stress relievers. They not only, you know, it's something that you can get away from the caregiving for a few minutes. You can, a lot of times you can pick it up and drop it if you have to. But they also, because of the repetitive movements in them, they stimulate the relaxation response after about 20 minutes. So that actually helps people physically relax in addition to emotionally.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really interesting. And see, what you are just hearing with what Ina is saying is it's clear that she's the expert, right, from all these different things that she's saying. And also, it's really clear that this has been researched. This isn't just something of, well, let me see. I think I'll just pull this out of the clear blue sky and create a business around it.
Exactly.
Right.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. How has your business evolved with this understanding of Alzheimer's and caregiving, and how are you finding, well, let's just start with how your business has evolved over the last little while. We'll start there.
Well, I started out with the knitting yarn, and then when I got into the caregiving,
uh-oh, did we lose Ina? We did.
Uh-oh.
I'll have to wait for her to get back. I'm sure she'll call back in.
Yeah, I'm sure that she will. So, and she had been starting to allude to that earlier, starting with the knitting yarn, but it's been really cool to watch the evolution as Ina has done more research into her market and everything. And I remember in the beginning, I had no idea that she had this background as a physician. It's like
None of us did. I didn't even know that she was a physician at the time.
I remember when she said that, I was like, you're kidding, really? I had no idea. You know, just it never had come up, and she hadn't been very active or vocal onto the calls for bachelor students. And so it was just such a surprise to all of us, wasn't it?
It really was. It was a very emotional call for every person that was on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And so just that, and that was a part of the evolution and finding the ways then to harmonize all those aspects of herself and harmonize that into her business in a way that would profit her. And so part of the issue of working with caregivers is they are silent. They're not online all that much. And they're suffering a lot, but they get so busy taking care of people, they may not always be looking for something to help them or may feel really strapped with resources to buy stuff. So it doesn't make it by itself, in and of itself, for the most, that'll be really profitable kind of an idea. And so,
and even before Ina found the caregiving niche, one of the things we had seen on the knittingyarn.com as Ina got that site underway was that while you would think, oh, knitting, there's tons of stuff you can monetize it with, there's a big problem inherent in it, and that is that in that niche, so often we end up with people who are buying things like patterns, $2, maybe as much as $5.
Right.
And while they buy lots of stuff, the amount of money Ina can make from just knitting as a niche is really not very big. The amount, because of physical products, the patterns, et cetera, tends to be very, very small. So by going into caregivers who are also knitters, it really does expand the opportunity for monetization of the business. I think we've got Ina back now.
Oh,
yes,
good.
I got bumped off. I was having a great conversation with myself, I guess.
Aww, too funny. Too funny. Well, we made it back, so we can continue from here. We just took over where you left off.
Okay. I'm not sure where I left off. I'm not sure where I got cut off.
Talking about the evolution and kind of going back through, and Gina and I were talking about how initially we didn't even realize that you were a trained physician, and and all of that, and we started talking about the, in your absence, finding ways to monetize wolf knitting and caregiving by combining them rather than keeping them separate. So you were starting to talk about when you first started the knitting yarn, and then we kind of lost you right around there. So,
well, I started the knitting yarn, and after coming into Gina's bachelor's program and doing the mindset module, I realized that my real passion is helping caregivers who are very silent and don't speak for themselves quite often and don't know that they need to speak. And so I thought for a while it would be two separate blogs, but then again, speaking with Gina, I realized, like you had just said, that the knitting is a very small niche. The caregiving is a very small niche, but combined, they are much more powerful.
They really
are.
And
that's what I'm now doing, is that blogs on the knitting yarn also are posted on Caregiving with Purpose. And I'm speaking to knitters who are caregivers.
Mm-hmm. So how did that change when you started talking to knitting caregivers? How did that improve your results?
I think it really it focused me on speaking to one person, for one thing, and that's really when I've started to get people coming into my free membership sites on both Caregiving with Purpose and on the Knitting Yarn. I started to see more members coming in, and there have been more comments since before then. But I think it has to do with focusing the
Did we lose her again?
Well,
I know you're still here. It still looks like she's here.
It looks like she's here to me.
Are you still here, Ina?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
it
you cut out there for a few.
Yeah, mid-sentence. Thought we lost you. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Not your fault. Something's going on with our technology today.
We're having maybe there's a lot of sunspots or something.
Maybe. So let's fast forward to, say, the last 12 months and what you've been doing to build your business strategically. I want to talk about last year to start with, when you started really doing something specific to reach caregivers of Alzheimer's patients. Why don't we talk about that for a little bit?
Yes.
The Larry
okay.
King special, et cetera.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, last year in May, Larry King had a special on Alzheimer's. It actually only played once because of the news. They preempted it after that. It didn't even get played on the West Coast, I believe. But I found out about it ahead of time through Gina. And I wrote a couple of blog posts about it, one beforehand, and very strategically used the names of the people that had their own blogs, like Lisa Gibbons, Larry King had a contact in CNN at that point, Maria Shriver, and some of the Angie Dickinson was another one, who were in the special, and they either had a website or a blog. Some of them specifically geared towards Alzheimer's, and using that a promote.
Hmm.
Boy, this is
there
really
is
strange.
She's fuzzed out. It went crackle, crackle, but I still see her in the console. Oh, that's really weird. Well, Gina, pick up the story then to help her out until we get her back.
Okay, Ina, when you make it back, just let us know. So there was this Larry King special that aired one time in May of 2011. Andy Dickinson, Maria Shriver, and many other really, really big names in the field were talking about patients with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. And all of these people that were on, Lisa Gibbons was another one, all of the people that were on this special were people who really were advocating for Alzheimer's research and coming up with a cure for Alzheimer's, et cetera. So when I heard about the special coming up, I actually heard about it from my husband, Bill, who watches a lot of TV. And he says, don't you have a student who's in the Alzheimer's field? And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I do. He says, I think I've got something she should watch. So we talked about that, and I told Ina about a strategy that I've used for a number of years back when I was a JV broker. If you write a blog post, post it on a WordPress blog, and in the body of it, take, say, someone's name and link it to a blog post on their blog, it can get that person to actually see your blog post. When they next logged into their WordPress dashboard, they'll see an incoming link from your post. And more often than not, it will also put what's called a trackback or pingback on their site, where it leaves a comment on the blog post that you link to. So Ina did that with Maria Shriver's name, Angie Dickinson's name, Larry King's name, etc., so that she would be able to get their attention by letting them be able to see this link to her blog post. And in doing that, it worked extremely well for Ina. It really did get her message in front of these big names. Now, fast forward. Ina, you back?
I am.
So I'll let you pick up from there. I was just talking about what you had done with that couple of blog posts about that episode of Larry King, linking to Maria Shriver, Angie Dickinson, Larry King, etc. What did that do for your site when you did that?
Well, it started to increase my traffic, and also the it increased the search results. I got higher in the search engine.
And fast forward to this year, Healthlines is a site that gets millions of visitors every single month. And they have a pretty interesting marketing strategy. They have a number of different top lists, top menopause blogs, top heart failure blogs, top COPD blogs, etc. So you had decided that you would go out and do this thing last year. How did Healthlines find you this year?
They didn't say, but as far as I know, they found me through that, probably through that blog post and the linking that I'd done there.
That's what I'm thinking too, because you really did have great search engine rankings for words related to Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Made it very, very, very easy for people to see you.
Yes.
And so before you knew it, you get this email one day. What did it say?
It said, congratulations. You've been named, and your blog has been named one of the top 25 Alzheimer's blogs in the world by Healthlines.
And now all of you really have to listen to this part of it, because this is like the most brilliant thing I've heard in a long time. The whole reason that Healthlines does this top listing in the first place is really simple. They've created a little badge that says, winner of Healthlines top 25 Alzheimer's blogs, that the bloggers can put up on their website. Mm-hmm. If you really think about this, what's Healthlines doing this for? Well, they're doing it to get the top bloggers to give them backlinks from authority sites that have lots of traffic. It's the entire reason that Healthlines gets as many visitors as it gets. It's all these top people with lots of traffic, great search engine rankings, backlinking from the banners they put on their site to Healthlines. brilliant, brilliant, brilliant strategy, if you ask me.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely love it, Ina.
Yeah.
So now that you've been named one of the top 25 Alzheimer's blogs in the world, now what are you doing with this?
Well, I sent out a press release August 31st saying that that's saying exactly that, that I was named in one of the top 25 Alzheimer's blogs and saying a little bit about what my sites are and what my business is. And
just awesome.
And that has also led to an increase in traffic and an increase in backlinks and an increase in, well, actually, the press release itself as of today is up to, if you Google it with quotes around the name, you get 6360.
Wow. Oh. 6,360 backlinks from one single press release. Holy cow, is that awesome.
Yeah. And very quick, too, because those started, you know, those started within a couple of days of it, and it's less than a month since that press release went out.
That is fabulous.
You price that out per link versus what was, I know this was a paid press release, it's still so totally and completely worth it because it's very difficult to do this, that kind of thing manually to get that many links. And you either pay for everything with time or money, you know.
That's right.
So,
Rhonda, that comes out to 6 cents a backlink.
I was going to say it was between 5 and 10 cents, 6 cents a backlink, yeah, right as where it is now, not to say that in another week or two, it could end up coming down to 3 or 4 cents per backlink because there will be more of them over time. So that's just amazing. You cannot outsource getting backlinks for that.
You really can't. I mean, just not possible. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, how powerful is that? That was through a press release, and that was through, let's mention where you went for that so that people who may be thinking about doing this, this is going to be the power of a paid press release versus even just doing the free ones. You don't get anywhere near that many backlinks.
It was PR Web, and it was their premium press release, which is around $380.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, interestingly enough, that is not the highest priced press release, but it is the more effective. So when you do this, look for the premium.
Right. Right.
And you know
when
what
you think, and if, when I think about it, I mean, I didn't keep track of how long it took me to write it, but it was, you know, I'm sure it was under 18 hours. That makes even the number of backlinks even better when you think about the time involved.
Boy, Blog Talk Radio's panel is just giving us fits today. I got disconnected this time.
Oh, my gosh, really? But we didn't. Well, this has been quite a day. I mean, it took me a couple of tries to get on, even though I was still a little bit late. But, wow, it's really quite a day here.
It really is. One of the things I wanted to mention is an add-on to what you just said, Rhonda. I have had other people who have used both the more expensive option on PR Web and the less expensive options on PR Web, neither of which get the same results as one particular thing. So if you're going to use a paid press release strategy, make sure you use the premium version on PR Web, not the more expensive, not the less expensive. It really does things differently, and it really does help you get backlinks from sites that you wouldn't get in any other way, no matter how much you try. These are not just any old sites that your press release is on, is it, Ina?
No. No, it isn't. Yahoo News is one of them. And there are several... It goes out to the AP, so there are a lot of there are several television stations that picked it up on their online stuff, the newspapers.
Lots of newspapers picked it up. I saw that a couple weeks ago. A lot of them picked it up.
Yeah.
And
I'm
that
sure
really
that...
makes a big difference in the quality of the traffic that you get.
Right.
Because those sites are really authority sites in the eyes of the search engines, those backlinks to your site can be very, very powerful. Now, one of the things Ina did in her press release that's a little different from what most people would do in a press release is in the body of the press release, Ina didn't just include a link to the homepage of caregivingwithpurpose.com. If she had, I don't think she'd have the results that she's getting from it. She has a couple of different links in the press release. At least one of them takes people to an internal page on Caregiving with Purpose. The value from a backlink standpoint and an SEO perspective is much greater by linking to an internal page that uses the same keyword the press release is based on versus having a link coming to your site that just takes people to the home page. So that was a big part of why I think you've gotten such great results from this, Ina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was linked to the keywords, and I was very careful, too, with following their instructions. They have a nice software program that tells you how many keywords you should have per 100 words. I think it's one per 100 word, and that sort of thing. I made sure I did not go over that and try and stuff it with keywords or anything.
Yeah, that would have been really bad. And because you really did follow their instructions to the letter, you got a lot more sites picking up that press release than most people usually experience. That really says a lot about the quality of what the press release says.
Well, and it also speaks to the quality of following directions. I'm sure they don't let it go through if you break certain rules, and so there's that back and forth. Oops, you didn't do this right. Oops, you didn't do that right, which is avoided by simply paying attention and following the directions that are there so that you don't have all that back and forth going on.
Yeah.
What a noisy bird.
It is a noisy bird.
It's adorable.
Sorry about him. There's nothing I can do to get him to be quiet today.
No, it's okay. It's really cute. It's just amazing how well that comes through the line. It sounds like he's
I'm
your face.
Sorry. So
well,
now that you've won this award and now that you've got this press release out, what else are you doing with it and what's next? I'll mute while you're answering.
I'm working on getting a webinar going on this, probably a webinar summit, and also on doing a giveaway. I'd like to get involved with all of the 25 winners, the other 24, and see if we can't do something to really help all of us, really monetize and
maximize the exposure that you're getting if you all work together on a giveaway. And I would think that Lifelines would actually love that because they're going to end up with some more traffic because of it as you're featuring We Are All the Lifelines Top 25 Alzheimer's blogs. So it's a definite win-win. Healthlines. It's a big win for everybody.
Yes, which is what I like to do is have everybody win.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way to do it.
And for our listeners, there's a couple of things I want to make sure that they really get out of this. First off, in just about any niche you can think of, there are probably going to be contests of some sort, like what Healthlines does with their top list. If you're in a health-related niche, there's a good chance that Healthlines has a top something or another. If you can get content from your site onto the first page of Google for some of those generic terms like Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's treatment, etc., it's quite easy to get your message in front of some of the organizations that could name you as a winner of some awards. And the value of that in both building your credibility and driving traffic is mammoth. But there's a second way that you can really use this as well. And that's something that I'm doing right now with one of my upcoming summits. Just seeing Ina having won this award and seeing how easy it was to strategically get her message out there in a way that helped her to get this award made me come up with an idea for doing this kind of contest in any niche. Okay, now we've got this weird echo. Can you guys hear it too?
Nope.
Very strange.
I don't hear it at all.
Gotta love Blog Talk.
Love that so, love.
I came up with this idea after the speaker summit that we did in July. We had a really hard time getting our presenters to actually do the promotion of the summit the way that they should. So going into the next one, I went, you know, Health Feinstein had a really smart idea with this idea of top lists, getting people to put banners on their site linking back to Health Lines. I'll betcha we could do the same thing in any niche.
Yep.
So we went out and did some research, and we came up with a list of the top 50 bloggers in the author's field and the top 50 podcasters in the author's field. We created a little badge that they could put out on their site, and we're now in the process of going to each and every one to notify them that they've been listed as one of the top author's blogs or author's podcasts. We're inviting them to participate in an upcoming summit by having their badge linked to their affiliate link for getting tickets to the event. Now, if they're like Ina or like me, they're going to put that badge on their site because it really does bolster their credibility in a big way.
Oh,
and more than likely, if they've got the right audience, it's going to drive traffic to the summit, almost guaranteed.
Yep.
But we took that a step further and we said, you know, what could we do to get them to do more than just put the badge on their site? So we're giving these 100 sites, both bloggers and podcasts, the opportunity to become sponsors in this upcoming summit. They'll need to do some promotion in order to become a sponsor. But we created three levels of sponsorship. In the highest level of sponsorship, they'll actually get 15 minutes on the summit, where they can talk about whatever they want, promote a product if they want, promote their website or podcast if they want. They can really get a lot of exposure to the audience that they're going after by becoming that highest level sponsor. Now, normally, when you do something like a teleconference, webinar, live event, you normally charge people to become sponsors. These 100 people don't have to pay to become sponsors at all. What they need to do is use their list, use their blog, use their podcast, use their Facebook profiles and fan pages, et cetera, to promote the conference.
With
5 referred sales, they become a silver sponsor. 10 referred sales, they're a gold sponsor. 20 referred sales, and they're a platinum sponsor, and they get major exposure because of it. And it's really easy for them to qualify as a sponsor in a way that still keeps this contest, if you will, in a way that is still very authentic and it really is an honor, not something that's just marketing gimmicky. Anybody can do this. Don Osborne with Incorted.com is talking about doing this with the top pre-med blogs and the top pre-med forums. You can do this in just about any kind of niche you can imagine. Even if there's a contest like it already, doesn't mean you can't have one too. And I think it could really make a huge difference in both backlinks and traffic for many of our listeners' websites too.
Yep, love it.
So what else would you like to talk about with Ina regarding the strategies that she's using, Rhonda?
Well, we started to talk about what's next, and what I would think it would be great for you to talk about as well is really how you are using this to help monetize, not only to get more traffic, but then to get people to buy something from you. And I know this, you know, everything is a journey, and all the different steps are coming into play. So what is that like for you, Ina?
Well, it's really made me realize that I need to really focus on that more, I think. And it's helping me to come into creating more products.
Right.
I've come up with, and it really, I think, gave me such a boost. Just feeling good about, you know, being one of the 25 top Alzheimer's blogs, and that the monetization is coming. I'm working on getting a paid membership on the Knitting Yarn, for example, and doing some webinars with that, and then. Also looking at possibly at writing an Alzheimer's book, which I really hadn't thought of before. Taking a lot of the blog posts that I have and reformatting them into a book.
Absolutely,
great idea.
Also thinking about also with the other Alzheimer's. Winners, seeing if maybe they would be interested in participating in a book, maybe each of them writing a chapter.
Mm-hmm. And they could easily turn in a blog post as their particular chapter if they wanted
Absolutely.
To. And let that be their easy contribution for them that would also get them to that published author status.
Right.
Which is good. Very good. And also, when you were talking earlier about getting the people together for a giveaway, that ultimately leads to monetization for you because you're going to be the one who has the entire list of everyone since you're hosting it. And
right.
And once you have your membership, which will be coming up pretty soon here, once you have that in place and or another product of any kind, that's going to help you easily monetize that right away. And this will be something evergreen, meaning that it's something that can be promoted for months and years to come, not only just a one-time event in a particular month.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm really excited about for you. This
yep.
is something that you can really milk for all it's worth for months and months and months to come. I cannot wait to see what happens as you start doing these things because I really do think that the more you go about doing these kinds of things, the better the traffic and sales are going to be. You know, it's great that you have these other 25 people or these other 24 people that you can get to work with you to do a giveaway where each person gives some sort of a gift that can be included in a package on an ongoing basis for a long time to come.
Right.
Doing that part of it, doing a summit that you create, maybe even let people attend for free. If they want the recordings, they have to upgrade to pay for it. And
right.
once the product is created, you now all have a product to sell on an ongoing basis forever, which will really be great as both a list builder for you as well as a way to constantly keep monetizing your business. That's going to be awesome.
Yes. Absolutely.
That is great.
I often see people fairly new in their business who just don't think about having something on an ongoing basis that they can use to build their list permanently or help better monetize through selling low-end products to generate leads for something else. And what's so nice is both the Knitting Yarn and Caregiving with Purpose being harmonized with the way you're doing it. it creates a blue ocean strategy consisting of this unique combination of caregivers who are knitters, coupled with this strategic alliance approach, really building the business, getting all 25 people working together. And I am sure that it will be very easy to get Healthlines involved so that they sponsor something like the giveaway, something like the summit, and use their millions of visitors on an ongoing basis to help promote all of you. You know, right now it's just a one-way streak. You're promoting them, basically. Yeah, they promote you a little bit, but you have to know where to go on the Healthline site to actually find their top awards. If you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't stumble across it. This really builds a true strategic alliance with Healthlines that gets you to promote them, them to promote you over and over and over and over and over. And that, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't end up on their top Alzheimer's blogs list for years to come because of the alliance. Helps them, and it helps you all at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really great. And that alliance is, that's really where things can max out in a great big way when you have those alliances, and it's not just depending on you and whatever traffic you personally can drive. It makes such a big difference.
Really, really does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's all about the leverage that we talk about so often. So, Ina, as you think through this whole journey that you have been on, what are some of the biggest ahas or self-realizations that have helped you move forward instead of just going, ah, this is too much work, I'm going to give up on it?
Well, some of it was, one of the first things I think was the idea that this was a passion that I was connecting with, and that it was something that was is inside me to help caregivers. And it's more than just trying to monetize the blog. It's an integral part, I think, of who I am. And that was certainly one of the biggest ahas. And also that, you know, people like Gina and you, when you found out I was a doctor, it didn't make any difference. And I thought that, because so many times, I think, Gina, you've probably run into the same thing as being when you were a lawyer. So many times people look at you differently, they treat you differently.
Yeah.
When they know
about
that. And I think that has really helped my voice, that I can talk to people not as a doctor. I can pull that in if I need to, but I'm working very hard at my blog posts are talking to people on the same level. You know, not using a lot of medical terminology.
Yeah, as a trusted guide, not specifically a physician hurling out $100 words at every turn.
Right, and another thing that has helped me too this year is I started to be the knitting and quilting teacher for the local Joann's, and that just that talking and working with people, realizing that, yes, both of these people really are caregivers. They're all caregivers. And just the feedback from teaching them how much they get out of it has really, really propelled me forward.
Has that been a surprise to you that of these people taking a class at a Joann's Fabric where you're teaching, that most or all of them are caregivers? Was that a surprise to you?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was. I think I knew that was certainly a possibility, but it just having it validated was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
it's
surprising that all of them were, you know, as opposed to maybe half of them or some of them, or that the vast majority are. That's just amazing. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's and great.
Let's talk a little bit about the quilting niche that you've been looking at lately.
Okay.
So how did you come up with the idea of expanding into quilting?
Well, quilting is something that I've done for a long time. My mother was a quilter. we think she made probably parts or all of 80 to 90 quilts by the time she passed away.
Wow.
And in some of the I just started to look at quilting. Just thinking, well, this is sort of like knitting. I wonder if people are interested in it there. And actually, there is a quilter's website. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue that makes Alzheimer's has quilters make Alzheimer's quilts that are only like 9 by 10 inches in size, and then they raffle them off or they sell them or give them away if they don't sell or aren't raffled. But there are a lot of people that are working. Certainly the HIV quilt was something that may have made me think about that, because I was an HIV physician for a while, and that really isn't, that's a kind of an interesting quilt because it's not a strictly traditional quilt that we think of. It's really a lot of the quilts are painted, or they're done by people that are not sewers, so it's really interesting.
Non-traditional.
Yeah. So I started doing some research on it and realized that's another area that there are a lot of caregivers, and there are also a lot of knitters that are quilters. One of the websites that I've done some research in has sections for quilters and for knitters. And probably the fact that I'm the teacher of both in Joanne kind of spurred me also to making some of that research. And I found
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I found out that quilters do spend money. I think the average is over $6,000 a year that they spend on their quilting.
Mhm. Certainly a lot more money in that than what we've seen in the knitting niche, right?
Yeah. Seems to be.
Is there a difference between the amount somebody might spend on, like, courses or education, DVDs, CDs, and what all, versus, like, the, you know, yarn and needles and those kinds of things?
Well, yeah, that's what that's some of what I'm still researching. But, yeah, the physical products, they're probably not spending as much on for, like, needles. Now, yarn, sometimes people will spend a lot on yarn. It's not unusual to spend $100 to make a sweater if you're into that. And the quilting is probably the same way. But people are also spending money on learning how to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not spending so much on the patterns. The individual patterns are not that expensive. But even going to a Joanne's class for a couple of hours, you're going to spend, you know, $40, $50 at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Per two-hour class?
For a 1 to 2 hour class, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's what's good to know is, you know, there's a difference. It's just like a sewing pattern would be the same thing. They're not very expensive to have sewing patterns, but people who buy patterns are likely to need some kind of classes. So that's where you're going to be able to come in a bigger way. Even if you were to hook people up with supplies, sources for yarns and what have you, you're still going to make more on the info product side or the courses than you would from the physical tools of the trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to make sure people know where they can find you and to follow what's happening with you. So your websites are caregivingwithpurpose.com, caregivingwithpurpose.com, and theknittingyarn.com. And that's where they can find you. Theknittingyarn.com is the other site.
Right.
Gina, what do you want to highlight with Ina before the time is rapidly dwindling here?
Well, one of the things that I really think has been great to watch is that while Ina may not have things set up perfectly, one of the things that's really been unique about Ina is that she applies and takes action on as much as she can, even if it's not done 100% perfectly. I think that's been really unique about you, hasn't it, Ina?
Yes. Yeah, I realizing. I mean, it's just something that I've always, I guess, sort of done. But yeah, I didn't realize that so many people don't take action unless it is perfect.
They really don't. It's very unusual. And even little things, like Ina's had opt-in boxes on both sites for a long time. And recently I said, so on the thank you page, what sales page does it take them to? And Ina said, oh, you know, that's a good idea. Wasn't perfect because it didn't take them to something that could make her money instantly. But boy, how many people have you added to your list now, Ina, while it wasn't perfect?
About 300.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'd much rather have those 300 people than none at all because it wasn't perfect.
Right.
So I really hope that our listeners can look at what Ina's been doing and see it as an example of just take action on every single thing you learn. Even if it's not perfect, it really is going to get you further along than just sitting there doing nothing, trying to make it perfect from the start.
That's absolutely true. That really is. And just and because you're, by implementing, you'll have different questions than if you're just thinking about implementing. It'll be a very different game for you, and you'll start to get results, and then you have a basis for tweaking and making it better.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Ina, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited about what's going on in your world. It's going to be so much fun to watch in the coming months to see how this literally can explode the results that you're getting.
Well, thank you. I'm excited, too. And I will definitely share it with both you and Rhonda.
Oh, okay. Any final advice for our listeners?
Yeah, if you don't, do what Gina and Rhonda tell you to do.
You're so awesome. Thank you, Ina.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Ina. Thanks to our listeners. That's great.
Thank you, Rhonda, for today. And Rhonda and I will be back next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.